Audio from the March 2011 International Women's Day Tour of Dublin. I have to apologise for this recording. I failed to turn the recorder on in time and missed the start of the stop at the National Gallery on Women in Culture.
We continue to fight for equality. We have women in very high paid, powerful positions in the Irish Times, and Marion Finucane and Miriam O'Callaghan occupy two of the highest paid jobs in RTE. However, they continue to be outnumbered by their male counterparts. Watching shows like Vincent Brown and The Frontline, it's not rare to see an all-male panel. Women make up 51% of the Irish population. You know, we outperform men in terms of access to education. We have expertise in areas such as politics, economics, science, medicine, law. Our voice has to make a contribution to dealing with the current crisis. It's something that affects women as well as men. However, if you see in newspaper supplements, such as the Irish Independent, recently brought out a supplement for women, which deals with things like fashion, makeup, beautifying yourself, it's almost creating a reality where we see that women should be confined to these sorts of roles, talking about frivolous things like makeup, like gym access, like those kind of things, at a time when our country is on its knees and it needs the expertise of both women and men. And that's really short and sweet. Can everybody hear me? Yes. Excellent. So, we're outside government buildings to talk about women in politics. Women in Ireland, well, most of them, didn't play a huge role in politics until around 1880. There was a strong suffragette movement fighting for votes for women, but it was very much limited to the upper class and educated women. It wasn't really a concern for a lot of the women who were fighting to pay rent and put food on the table. In 1881, however, this was all to change, and women were to take a central role in Irish politics. Now, it wasn't particularly because there was a huge sense of enlightenment, a sudden occurrence to somebody that women should be involved. Rather, it was because everyone else was in jail. The Irish Land League, led by Michael Davitt and Charles Stewart Parnell, were leading the charge for land rights for Irish people. By 1881, they realised that they'd become troublesome and were going to be arrested at any time. And they were wondering, what do we do if we're all in prison? And Michael Davitt thought about it and suggested the formation of an Irish Ladies Land League to get the women who'd been very effectively fundraising and publicising for them to take over in their absence, arguing no better allies than women could be found for such a task. They are, in certain emergencies, more dangerous to despotism than men. So, when Parnell and Davitt and co. were arrested, Annie and Fanny Parnell, Charles's sisters, were left in charge. They were given small offices on O'Connell Street and very little by way of instructions. So they did what the Land League threatened to do for a number of years previously. They ran the movement and started to do militant things that only the men threatened and talked of. Tim Harrington, an MP for Ireland, said, "Some of us found they couldn't be controlled." They raised huge amounts of money. They made huts. Thanks for that. They built huts for people who'd been evicted. And they raised over £60,000, which at the time was a huge amount of money. There are many who say that Charles Parnell and Davitt were only released from prison because the authorities felt that at least they'd do less damage than the Ladies Land League. When the men were released from prison, the women's involvement was very much brushed under the carpet.
and a legacy of bitterness and resentment was left amongst the women. Anna Parnell wrote an angry account of her experience in Tale of a Great Sham, which wasn't published until 1986. It wasn't then until 1913 with the formation, with the involvement of Countess Markievicz and women in the Irish nationalist movement, that women were to play a large role in Irish politics again, and also in the suffragette movement. Women fought alongside men during both the Civil War and the War of Independence, and took their place in the First Dáil. There were more women in the First Dáil than there is in today's Dáil. And to talk a little bit about women's involvement in politics, Julianne is going to talk about the situation there.
At present, our current parliament suffers from severe gender imbalance. The last election, just a few weeks ago, returned 25 women to the Dáil, which translates into a weak 15%. That's 15% below the 30% target set by the United Nations. Committee reports on underrepresentation of women in Ireland have cited candidate selection as an inhibitor of participation. They've recommended that gender imbalance can be overcome via gender quotas at the candidate level. Another inhibitor of female ascent to political participation in this country is culture. The patriarchal legacy of the Catholic Church continues to be a factor in women's underrepresentation. Gender inequality is an affront to the democratic ideal of equality, and the United Nations Convention for the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women have recommended that it is the responsibility of the government to introduce all appropriate measures to end and eliminate inequality and allow for an equal, fair opportunity for women and men. Over the past 15 years, the other European member states have taken this advice on board, and average participation levels in the other member states is at 24%. Countries like Belgium, France, Spain, they've all introduced gender quotas and all have been successful in improving participation rates of women. Talk about gender quotas in Ireland is very divisive, and controversy is often sparked. People deem them to be undemocratic. However, in Ireland, 38% of women suffer from gender disenfranchisement in that you don't have a female representative in your local constituency. We have underdeveloped policies on equality, and we have a situation where protection against domestic abuse and access of things like abortion, you have to go to European Union for these protections. Ireland is among the worst countries in the world for representation. We're at 79. The chances of achieving gender parity in Ireland are very slim unless affirmative measures are introduced.
This audio was recorded on the March 20th, 11th International Women's Day Walking Tour of Dublin. The tour was organised by Choice Ireland, Lashback and RAG. For more information, see Article 99130 on indymedia.ie.